a Samaritan passes by. Why does Jesus tell us that the third guy was a Samaritan? That's what I want to talk about today. A sociological construct is an idea that has been created and accepted by the people in a society. It's not a God idea. What happens that's really frightening to people is when somebody shakes the cage of your construct. Our God is the cage shaker. This is a preparatory Bible class getting you ready for God to use somebody that you didn't expect. God will raise up somebody that is least likely and do the Almighty through them to bless you if you're not afraid to allow the Samaritan to become good. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves. And the thieves in turn stripped him and wounded him and left him half dead. At this point, Jesus has a man laying on the side of the road, his face down into the sandy dirt of the dark of the Palestinian heat in a tumultuous situation, and it is about to get dark and thereby cold and freezing, and there he is in the darkness of the night, alienated, in pain, bleeding, left alone, perhaps delusionary, out of his head, wondering if he's going to die, half dead, pulse getting weak, heart slowing down, temperatures falling. He thinks he is about to die. In this peril, in this turmoil, in this crisis, there is a certain feeling that comes when you hear footsteps coming. Maybe I might get to live. Maybe I might survive this. Maybe somebody will pass by and have compassion on me. I want you to understand how important the footsteps are. Because when you're dying and you're going to die alone and you don't hear any footsteps, you lose something more important than blood. You lose hope. And when you lose hope, you have lost everything. Hope deferred, the Bible said, makes the heart sick. So when you lose hope, you have lost just about everything. This man was dying physically, dying emotionally, losing hope, and then he heard footsteps. Oh, bless God, it's a man of God coming. It's somebody from my circle. It's somebody I believe in. It's somebody I respect. It's a priest coming. The priest came by and looked over at him and turned and walked away. Now, I'm not judging the priest. Maybe he was afraid the thieves were still close by. Maybe he didn't feel that he was confident or strong enough to lift the man. But for whatever reason, the priest passed by. Shortly thereafter, a Levite comes along. And surely this is a Levite. Surely he's going to come and he's going to do something. He is instructed in the way of the Lord. He's part of the Aaronic priesthood. He's raised up in an environment that is conducive and supportive of the ordinances and the oracles of God. I know he's going to do the God thing, that, you know, what would Jesus do? He's going to come over there and he's going to rescue. He did not do that. He looked at him, said, sure looks bad, turned around and walked away, left the man worse off than he was before, still losing blood, still losing hope, still losing strength, and finally, a Samaritan passes by. Why does Jesus tell us that the third guy was a Samaritan? That's what I want to talk about today. Jesus goes out of his way. He could have said another stranger passed by. He could have said a Jewish peasant passed by. He could have said a tax collector passed by. But when he said a Samaritan passed by, he is now challenging this man's sociological construct. Because if there were anything that the Jews of Jesus' time did not like, it was the Samaritans. When Jesus commissioned the 70 to go out and to start ministering the gospel, he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, but do not go to the Samaritans and do not go to the Gentiles. Even Jesus told them not to go, because salvation had to first be offered to his own brethren, his covenant, his circle. Later, that will be broken. Later, that will be enlarged. Later, that will grow. You remember when the Bible said in the Gospel of St. John that Jesus told his disciples, I think it's chapter 4, that he must need go through Samaria? Jesus decided to go through Samaria? God had a plan for Samaria. The Jews hated the Samaritans. How do you know that? A lot of ways I know that. But let's start with one. When the woman at the well came down to the well, she said, what are you doing down here at the well, you being a Jew? You know that our people have no dealings with each other, seeing that I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We don't even deal with each other. We don't communicate with each other. We don't talk with each other. What are you doing hanging out in my neighborhood? Jesus went into other zip codes. We tend to stay in the zip codes of our comfort. And whenever you stay in the zip code of your comfort, you're staying in the sociological construct that makes you comfortable. And a lot of times that has a lot to do with affecting your life, your blessings, your prosperity, your healing, your restoration, because God did not promise to send the blessing through people you like. God did not promise to send the blessing through people you're used to. God did not promise to send the blessing through people you approve of. In fact, many times, God will send your blessing into the hands of somebody that you would prefer not to interact with. You remember when Hagar was out in the wilderness and about to die, and the Lord sent her back to Sarai to go back home because I have chosen Sarai to bless you. She and Sarai didn't get along, but God chose somebody that she did not even like to bless her and then humbled her and made her go back and submit herself in a place where Hagar did not want to be, but God controls who he decides to use to bless you. Let me show you again in scripture. The Bible said, I will make your enemies your footstool. That means the very people that you don't like, I'll make them the footstool that carries you to the next letter. That sounds good when you're preaching a sermon, but when you work that thing out in real life, do you have the courage to step on the step if the step is somebody you don't like? Or would you choose to stay in your circle and wither and die rather than to receive the help from somebody that challenges your construct, what you have built in your mind? There is not a person listening at me right now who doesn't have some kind of construct that you've built in your mind and preconceived ideologies about certain types of people or certain types of clothing or certain types of income or certain kinds of politics or certain kinds of theology or certain kind of gender. Everybody that I am talking to right now has some sort of circle that you feel safe in, and God is about to broaden your circle. He's about to shatter it. He's about to break it into pieces because God is going to use some unorthodox ways to bless you, some unorthodox ways to get you out of the situation that you're in, and it's going to challenge the way you think. I feel the presence of the Lord talking to you right now. It's going to challenge the way you think. It's going to challenge the truth as you know it. It's going to challenge your construct. It's going to challenge your philosophies. It's going to challenge your ideas. It's going to challenge how you proceed in the future. Now let's go deeper. Can we go deeper into this? People who normally would be together, you're finding it difficult to come together. Some of you dread Thanksgiving dinner. You dread the holiday because your mother-in-law's coming over and that other tribe is coming over and your son and his girlfriend are coming over and she doesn't like you and all of you got tribes to contend. All these tribes going on in your life. So many tribes. Democrats and Republicans used to be able to disagree and still have lunch together. Now, if you disagree with me, you're not an American. You're an animal. You're a dog. You're terrible. You're awful. Those days are gone of being able to step, being mature enough to step over your differences and understanding that there's more to unite us than there is to divide us. That doesn't mean that we can't speak truth to power. That doesn't mean that we can't have honest conversations. That doesn't mean that we can't describe our perspective, but you can't change people you won't talk to. You can't help people that you won't talk to. And more importantly, they can't help you. God will use somebody that you don't like to bless you. And the power of this text that we're studying in Luke 10 is that Jesus is trying to shatter the construct that exists around the minds of these people to think that the only people that can bless you are the people who are like you. The truth of the matter is the people who were most like the man who went down from Jerusalem, which incidentally is the place that the southern tribes inherited. They inherited Jerusalem. They inherited Solomon's temple. This man went down from Jerusalem and fell amongst thieves, stripped him, wounded him, left him half dead. Everybody that he thought would help him did not. I want to talk to some people out there who are living with the disappointment that the people you thought were going to be by your side were not. The people you thought would come to rescue you did not. The people you thought would call you on the phone and ask you, are you all right, did not. You're sitting up right now in an isolated situation, in a quarantine situation, and some of the very people you thought would call you and check on you didn't call. And some of the most unlikely people came to your rescue and came to your aid because God is trying to shatter how you see the world and tear down your construct and open your understanding to the fact that the Samaritan might be the one that brings you the oil and the wine, that pours in the healing balm in your wound, that wraps up the bleeding and stops the hemorrhaging in your life, that gives you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or introduces you to your next job or your next opportunity. You have to understand that. Or they may even be so compassionate that they get down off their beasts and walk so that you can ride on their beasts all the way to the end. That's love. And you don't get to pick who God chooses to love you through. I'm gonna say that again. You don't get to pick who God chooses to love you through. The reality is God is loving the man who's bleeding and half dead. God is healing the man who's bleeding and half dead. God has made provisions for the man who's bleeding and half dead. And God has made provisions for you. I want to talk to somebody who's losing money, losing strength, losing love, losing relationships, and you're sitting up there wondering what in the world is going to happen. God is going to do it. God is going to heal you. God is going to bless you. God is going to raise your finances. God is going to pull you through. God is going to open up your eyes. God is going to create an opportunity. God is going to give you a position. God's going to give you a promotion. God's going to give you a place to stay. But you may not recognize him because he may come dressed as your Samaritan. Who are the Samaritans in your life? Who are the people in your life that you won't ask a question when you're in the mall and you need directions because they're not kin enough to you? Who are the people in your life that you drive past to find somebody else to talk to? I'm not talking about open bigotry where you're running around in sheets and stuff like that. I'm not talking about open bigotry where you're hating white people or rich people or poor people. But we have biases in and out of every race and culture, and even within the race and culture. Poor people don't like rich people. Some rich people don't like poor people. And we pick who we're gonna come up to, because if they're wearing sagging pants, I'm not going up to them. Or if they just got out of a Rolls Royce, I feel uncomfortable talking to them. I wanna take you outside of your comfort zone because God is getting ready to bless you, and it's not gonna come through anybody that you have in your cell phone. The promises of God that are in your Bible did not promise to line up with the folks in your Rolodex that are in your phone. It may not be anybody that you talk to frequently, but I swear God is going to bless you. ...2020 has been a year-long fight for your mind. When everybody's running away, that's when smart people run in. And what we have to do is find people who want to move the country and the world forward and equip them with a panoramic view of thought. The walls are gone. The limitations are off. It's one thing to hear the information, but I want to break it down as you retool yourself. It's a higher hill to climb than it was before all of this happened. So this kind of information is vitally important. this conversation, the importance of this story centers around the question that the lawyer asked the lawgiver. Who is my neighbor? Did you hear that? The lawyer asked the lawgiver, who is my neighbor? And Jesus shatters his understanding. See, the problem with words are we can say the same words, but they don't mean the same thing. We all have our interpretation of a word. When one person says, I love you, and another person says, I love you too, they use the same word, but it doesn't always mean the same thing. Some people throw the word love around like they're French fries at McDonald's. Other people are very careful with how they use the word love. Some people throw the word friend around. I'm kind of funny about that word friend. I don't like to use that too quick because to me, friend means something that I have come to learn that a lot of other people do not define friendship the way that I do. And all of a sudden, what they're fighting over in the whole story is what does it mean to be my neighbor? And Jesus utterly blows their mind, not just of the lawyer, but he shatters through generations of constructs and preconceived ideologies that have brought this lawyer to the point that in his mind, he's trying to make sure that he doesn't have to love who he doesn't like. Woo, that's good right there. How do I get to unlove who I don't like? And Jesus sits down and tells him a story. And that's what I want to do, is sit down and tell you a story. That if you're on the side of the road and maybe COVID-19 has stripped you and wounded you and left you half dead, and you're hemorrhaging in your emotions or your finances or your time or your job or your mortgage, and you're wondering, am I going to make it or not? Or maybe you've gone through some other kind of crisis that has left you less than you were before you started your journey. Because anytime you start a journey, you're not promised to arrive the way you left. And if you're stuck someplace and you've seen a deduction, even in your ability to love or your ability to live or your ability to give or your ability to think, and you're laying there bleeding. And you can be going to work and still be bleeding. You can be driving a car and still be bleeding. You can be going on a date and still be bleeding, because a lot of people don't see the hemorrhaging, but you yourself know that you're bleeding up under that dress, bleeding up under that coat, bleeding up under that suit. And you've gone through some things from which you have not recovered, that stripped you, that wounded you, that left you half dead. And you've been praying in your secret life, God, send me some help. But if the help rang the doorbell and it didn't look like what you expected it to look like, would you open the door? If the help called you on the phone and it didn't sound like somebody that was familiar, would you open the door? That's what this text is all about. This text really centers around the great challenge to broaden your circle. If you went through Mother's Day and nobody and your own kids didn't call you and somebody else did, can you open up your circle, quit crying about who didn't call you, and thank God for who God sent? Because sometimes it is not promised to come from your daughter. It's not promised to come from your son. It's not promised to always come from your mother. Everybody who got mothered didn't get mothered by their mother. Everybody who got fathered didn't get fathered by their father. God will use somebody that has no DNA like yours, and yet they have fathered you. And you're so busy crying over who turned and walked away that you don't praise God for who came over and poured in the oil and wine. I want to shatter the way you think about your life right now. What does it matter if it didn't come from the Levite and the priest as long as it came? What does it matter if it didn't come from your child as long as it came? What does it matter if it didn't come from your father as long as it came? God wants to restore to you the years that the cankerworms and the palmer worm and the locusts ate up. But some people refuse to be restored because they're so wounded by who left that they can't rejoice about who came. I want to talk to you today. Are you listening at me? This Bible class is not just designed to teach you the historicity of the Samaritans. It is not just designed to lay a foundation up under a very familiar text. It is not just designed to titillate your intellectualism with years and concepts and ideas about cultures and the procession of the ups and downs of the people of Israel. No. What good is it to understand the historicity if you can't contemporize the text and make it applicable to who I am right now? Wherever you are in the world listening at me right now, there's not a person in this world that hadn't been stripped, wounded, and left half dead by something. A lover who left, a marriage that failed, a child that doesn't like you, a parent that doesn't regard you. We all live with our wounds. We don't get to pick who wounds us. And we don't get to pick who heals us. Because sometimes God will send the greatest healing through the person you would least accept it from. That's what this text is all about. This text is a challenge to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Only when you allow your neighbor to be bigger than the people that you have in your phone. This text is about living with expectation, even when you've had disappointment. This text is about surviving who walked away so that you will be alive for who is about to come. Because if you are not careful, you will be so grief-stricken over the turn of events. Look at the turn of events. I was just walking. I wasn't bothering anybody. I was trying to get from point A to point B. I ran into thieves. I didn't ask for these thieves. I don't want these thieves. They stripped me. Now I'm naked. I'm naked, outside, alone. I've been on a Jericho road. It is a winding road with sand blowing all in your nose and in your mouth and everywhere. It's the worst place in the world to be naked. It is cold at night. It is hot during the day. This man, they stripped him and they wounded him. I could have walked on naked. I'd have been embarrassed, but I could have walked on naked, but they wounded him and they left him. I want to talk to everybody who's been abandoned by anybody. I want you to see this text in a brand new light. They left him. They stripped him. They wounded him. They left him. You dated somebody. They abused you sexually. They wounded you financially. And they left you half dead. And you've never been the same again. And you're stuck on the Jericho road right now. For you, this is bigger than just understanding the historicity of the Samaritans. It is a challenge for you to look at your pain in a different perspective. And God is saying, I want to send some help, but because of your sociological constructs, if I would send help, you would turn it away because the help didn't look like what you had in mind. The reason I'm teaching this is that I felt impressed of the Holy Spirit to tell you, in the turbulence of this time that we're in right now, you got to broaden your circle. I can't tell you how many people I watch get in trouble, African-American people in particular, who go down to the barbershop and get some lawyer at the barbershop to litigate a case, never knowing that the lawyer's a real estate lawyer. And there you are wondering why you lost the case. It's because you stick with the familiar. We get who everybody else got. We do whatever they did. We get somebody, we don't even check them out, but because they're familiar, we take familiarity over competence. Maybe other people do that too, but I know we do that. And I sit up and think, my God, you got a corporate lawyer litigating a criminal case? That guy's not qualified. Yeah, but he was a lawyer and I knew him. And we get our hair cut at the same place. We work out at the same gym. I want him. Those are all dumb reasons to make decisions. The lawyer asked Jesus a question. Who is my neighbor? Because he is only comfortable with who he's comfortable with. And I'm telling you, it is not that God's not going to bless you. And it's not that help is not on the way. But it may not look like what you had in mind. If you can broaden your circle, at least broaden it, maybe you ought to shatter it altogether. Almost every blessing that ever came in my life came through somebody I didn't even know. And some of them came through people I didn't even like. And some of them came through people with which I deeply disagreed with their theology. But God used them to bless me. In this season where we need God's blessing more than we've ever needed it before, we cannot be picky who the mailman is when you desperately need the mail. I want to talk to people who are standing at the mailbox waiting on God to answer and yet running away from the box because you don't like the mailman. God sends this as a 911 message to you right now. Stop! Your Levites will pass by and your priests will look the other way. But I am sending you a Samaritan. And before the experience is over, it will challenge everything your mama and your grandmama ever told you about who to look to for help. Because it is not so much about the Samaritan, it's about the God who sent them. And God will use anybody to bless you. God is about to get out of order to get you what you need when you need it, because it didn't look like you were going to get it, but you are chosen.
When God chooses to bless you, nothing can stop him. Today, for your gift of any amount, you'll receive audio of Out of Order, Bishop T.D. Jakes' inspiring reminder that the chosen will be blessed and you are chosen. Plus, show off how thankful you are for God's blessing with this striking blessed sticker. For your gift of $90 or more, you'll receive 100 bold prayers, a brand new guided prayer journal, including a compilation of prayers and promises to speak over key areas of your life. You'll also receive the God Will Supply My Needs prayer box with included cards, in addition to Out of Order and the blessed sticker.
If he has to go through yokes, if he has to reach over people, when God gets ready to bless you, he'll cross over them to get you the blessing.
Call or go online to get Out of Order today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Potter's Dungeon.